Hello, and welcome to the first edition, the first program ever of the Ask Dr. Doctrine radio show. This show comes with a warning, because some of the subjects are going to be very heavy, very deep. So I hope that you can hang in there and absorb all of this as we talk about if the Bible is reliable. Today's program is being aired on January 7th, 2016, and it's on the authenticity of the Bible. It also happens to be my birthday. Happy birthday to me. All right, so let's begin. For years, the authenticity of the Bible has been in question. I'm sure you've thought about this, haven't you? You probably asked yourself questions like this. How do I know the Bible is God's holy word, and that all other writings, especially the ancient manuscripts, do not stand up to the Bible? You probably thought, is this make-believe stories about myths? Or you've heard your friends say that. I know I thought about these things before I was a Christian, before I came to know the Lord. So how do I know I can trust the Bible as being God's true revelation to man, to me, in my world, where I live, where I work, with my friends? How can I explain to my friends that God is real because I know the Bible to be the inerrant and reliable Word of God? Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to come to the conclusion that your Word is true, is reliable, so that we may faithfully proclaim to others that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, and that everything in the Bible is true, and that we can be with you forever in heaven. Amen. So, how reliable is the Bible? Is it truth? Is it reality? Or is it infallible, unfailing, dependable truth, presented by a real living person who was there to witness the events of creation and of the early history of the world? Is the Bible the true and dependable Word of God? We have a study group, like a Bible study group, really like a seminary, Bible school, online at Facebook Seminary. If you're ever on Facebook, you can go to our page, our group, called Facebook Seminary. The way to get there is you can do a search for it. Yeah, you might get lost that way, but I recommend that you just go to your browser, and in the address bar, just type in www.onlineseminary.info, and you will go directly to the Facebook page where Facebook Seminary is located. Now, I've also taken the liberty of doing some other purchases of domain names. So if you type in FacebookSeminary.com, FacebookSeminary.net, FacebookSeminary.org, any one of those will take you to the same place. But we recommend OnlineSeminary.info. Now, this is not part of the Facebook company. We only use their wonderful social media platform. And what we do in there is we discuss God's Word, the teachings of God's Word, which we call doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. And next week's program is going to be talking about the importance of correct doctrine. But if you're interested in learning more about the things of the Lord and studying the doctrines of the Bible and getting to the truth of the matter about certain beliefs, then I recommend that you go to Facebook Seminary. And there you will see over 100 topics. Now, we've kind of made it like a seminary, so you'll see like course numbers 101. And then also some hot topics. So what you do is you go in there and you look at the pinned post at the top, and it will tell you, it will show you a list of all of the topics in alphabetical order. And these are hyperlinks, so you actually click in there and you can go into the particular thread on the page. So whatever topic you're interested in, make sure you like that topic once you get there, and then you will get notifications when people post there. Now, don't just like it. Make sure you make comments and questions and get involved in the discussion. Again, that's Facebook Seminary online at Facebook. It's just the name of the Facebook page. It's not an organization or anything like that. But at Facebook Seminary, you can get these and many other questions, such as the dependability of God's Word, answered. If you send in a question about the Bible to our show here, our staff of volunteers will actually work to provide a Bible answer, and we may even choose your question to be answered on air for our next broadcast next Thursday at the Ask Dr. Doctrine radio show at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So how do you do that? Well, we have a Twitter account set up, and you go to at Dr. Doctrine, type in your question or comment, and then send it off to us, and we will examine that and answer it, and hopefully we'll be able to answer it on the air. Again, next week's program is on the importance of doctrine. I also want to thank our friends at missionsradio.org. I would really encourage you to take the time, go on Twitter, and send us your questions or comments to at Dr. Doctrine. That's the at sign and the word Dr. Doctrine as one word. Send it soon before you forget so we can answer you quickly at Dr. Doctrine on Twitter and be ready for that next show next week. So our purpose at Facebook Seminary is to present an international classroom for Christians to engage in dialogue about crucial subjects while being guided by the Bible as our written authority and being taught by the Holy Spirit, who enlightens us to His truth about each subject. And I want to thank a missionary in Africa who's part of Facebook Seminary in Tanzania, missionary Rodney Myers, for coming up with that beautiful mission statement for Facebook Seminary. And also, we have another statement. It says, "We desire to instill into the students an appreciation for studying and teaching the Word of God. After all, this is our time to be on earth, and we need to do our best while we are here." Isn't that true? Now, there's one of our members who, by the way, we have several people who have doctorates who are on our team here. And this is Dr. Habib Jamil Khoury, who wrote an article on the theological unity of the Bible. And I'm just going to begin our study with a quote from Dr. Habib. "The theological unity of the Bible. We believe that despite the great diversity of authorship in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of 40 different authors, that despite the composition spanning of all these books, over a period of some 1,600 years, that there is a remarkable doctrinal unity in the total understanding of the Bible." Dr. Habib is pointing out what many scholars understand, that 40 authors over 1,600 years participate in the writing of today's Bible, and yet they all agree theologically. Now, that point alone should settle the case that God's Word is authoritatively His, because He superintended and monitored the presentation of His Word, the reception of His Word, the delivery of His Word, all the way to us, through all those people, over all that time. Today's Bible study examines the reliability of God's Word as being authentic from God and realistic for application to life's problems today. So I hope that you'll be able to stay tuned and focus and possibly take notes, because this is going to give you some of the wonderful, wonderful blessings that you'll be able to share with others to help them to get excited about reading God's Word and following Jesus. Did you know that the New Testament is by far the most reliable ancient book? Did you know that? When you compare the New Testament to all other old books out there, the New Testament is by far more reliable. According to Dr. Dobson of Focus on the Family, I'm sure you've heard of him, and here's a quote, "Compared to other works of ancient history, the manuscript evidence for copies for the New Testament far outweighs manuscript evidence for other works or other books. For instance, there are less than 700 copies of Homer's Iliad." And that's a very famous ancient book, and only a handful of copies of any work of Aristotle. Now let's compare that to the New Testament. I recently saw a chart online of ancient books, and as far as copies go, the New Testament copies date much closer to the original date of writing than any other ancient book. Listen to this. There are some 5,000 New Testament Greek manuscripts, and then 24,000 total copies of parts of the Bible that keep getting uncovered all the time as they dig more. All these 5,000 New Testaments, only 40 to 70 years separating the earliest copies from the original writings. The earliest copies we have are within 40 to 70 years of when these New Testament books were written. Isn't that amazing? Now let's compare Homer's Iliad. There are 643 copies with 500 years spanning from the earliest copy to the original date of writing. The writings of Sophocles and Aristotle, they span 1,400 years between original writing and the first copies. Tacitus, Caesar, and Eratosthenes, with only 20 or less ancient manuscripts or copies in existence, are separated from the originals by over 1,000 years. So here you have 24,000 New Testament manuscripts, and they're only separated by 40 to 70 years. Even the writings of the famous Plato, which only number 7 manuscripts, just 7, Plato, are separated from the originals by 1,300 years. Note how reliable the New Testament is in comparison to any ancient manuscripts. 24,000 copies of the New Testament manuscripts, separated by only 40 to 70 years, depending on when the Bible book was completed as they were written to the churches. Furthermore, archaeologists are constantly digging deeper in the earth and uncovering more ancient artifacts the deeper they go. All they find is more evidence corroborating the historical facts of the Bible. Isn't that interesting? All this is more proof that the Bible is reliable. We could stop there, but we won't. A website called thebible.org proposes a summary of objections that people have to the Bible being authentic and trustworthy as the Word of God. And here are some questions. You may have heard people ask this, or maybe you've asked them yourself. Isn't the Bible full of contradictions and errors? Well, actually, did you know that there really are no contradictions in the Bible? You say, what? That's impossible. Well, not really, because you know what? They can easily be reconciled through a little online searching. This is because there are so many Bible schools out there, theological seminaries, and they focus on these problems in the Bible. And they reconcile these problems in the Bible by searching them out and explaining them. And once you dig it out, and once you look at it, guess what? You find out that there is no contradiction after all. In case after case after case. When I debate atheists myself, and I've done this for over 10 years online, they throw up these contradictions. Takes me just a few minutes to do a little research, and boom, I have the exact answer which proves, hey, that's not a contradiction at all. Try it. It's great. There are no contradictions in the Bible. Why? Because one author, God. And he doesn't say two things about the same thing. He doesn't contradict himself. Also, the Bible has been copied and translated so many times, it proposes another problem. Doesn't this process lead to errors? It's been copied so many times, it's got it. People just assume that there's errors in the Bible because it's been copied so many times. No. The fact is that the more manuscripts that we find as we dig deeper in the earth to reveal more things at these archaeological sites, that we find early and earlier manuscripts, and guess what? There are no changes in the earlier ones that we keep on digging to what we have today. There's only a few copying mistakes, like copying a word or a sentence twice, or leaving out a word or a sentence. So you have to remember that we have so many copies of ancient manuscripts that these problems of scribal copying errors can easily be solved when we compare them to other copies that we have. So if there is a mistake in copying, then we can solve it easily by looking at the plethora of other copies and see where the mistake was made. These were just people copying by hand. For the most part, they were just honest mistakes, like getting really tired copying manuscripts by hand in the dark, by candlelight, you know, and looking up and maybe going to the wrong spot. You know, these books are long, right? And it's tedious. To avoid problems, they would even count the number of letters and spaces or whatever on each page and compare it to the original for each page to make sure they got it copied correctly. So this answers the question of how can you be sure that the Bible is the same now as when it was written. We find older manuscripts and older manuscripts, and they're still matching up to what we have today. And there was careful scrutiny by scribes as they hand-copied these things over the years. The mistakes can be easily reconciled. All right, so how about this? Didn't the church arbitrarily decide which books should be included in the Bible and which books should be rejected? So how do you know it's really God's Word? Well, there were certain serious tests for what is called canonicity, or inclusion of books in the Bible. One looked at who the author was. For example, it was Paul or Peter or some other reputable person. Another looked for inconsistencies in teaching. And many of the books that were actually rejected were put into a collection known as the Apocrypha. One thing to remember is that God oversaw this process. He superintended this process and made sure that his communication to the world was complete and intact. After all, he's God, and he can certainly make sure that his message is received clearly and completely. Wouldn't you agree? It took several years for the authors of the Bible to complete their letters to the churches and to individuals in those days, and it took a while to compile them all together into one Bible, one book. Another question might be, so many people have so many different interpretations of the Bible. What makes you think your interpretation is correct? Well, that's the problem that we address at Facebook Seminary. That's the problem that pastors and Christian leaders address all the time. So at Facebook Seminary, remember, you can get there by typing in www.onlineseminary.info into your browser. Take you to a Facebook page. We're not part of Facebook. We just call it Facebook Seminary because it's a Facebook page. So anyway, we have a bunch of folks from around the world who are dedicated to finding out the truth about what the Bible says. And you can be part of that group. You can join us at Facebook Seminary. That's why, if there's a question of interpretation, we use time-honored rules for understanding and comprehending the intent of the author of God. What was his intent in saying this? Including examining word meanings. Sometimes we go into the Greek, even the Hebrew. Word order. Themes in a particular passage. And consistency in context. So if you have a question about the Bible, or Bible contradictions, or anything related to Bible doctrine, here's your chance to get answered on air. Just send it to us on Twitter to @DrDoctrine. One word. We will try to answer it on the air in the following program. We can't guarantee it, but we will try. Okay, you can also go directly to our Facebook page at Facebook Seminary. We also made it really easy. Just type in www.facebookseminary.com.org or .net. It'll still take you there. Okay, so we've made a link that'll take you straight there. Onlineseminary.info also work. And this will redirect you directly to the correct Facebook page where you can ask your questions directly to our qualified staff of volunteers from around the world. That's www.onlineseminary.info or on Twitter, @DrDoctrine. Now, to get to my own personal homepage on Facebook, just type in Dr. Doctrine on Facebook. But that's different than the seminary Facebook seminary link. Remember, we have 100 topics, like 100 classes that you can take. And it's just Christians talking with Christians. And we do have admin there that will monitor the conversation, make sure that everything is kosher, right? All right, so is the Bible true? Are these prophecies in the Old Testament really fulfilled in the New? Did the prophets really say, for example, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Well, did he go to Egypt? Well, are there Old Testament references to Jesus that are really fulfilled in the New Testament? Well, Dr. Habib Jamil Khoury of BAMI Publications, B-A-M-I, is one of our members, and I quoted from him earlier. And he says that no prophecy is more prominent in the New Testament than the line of messianic prophecies documenting Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. And he goes on to give us a list of some of these fulfillments. I'm going to read them to you now. And if you're on podcast, you might want to pause and write it down. Pause again, write it down. So here we go. The Messiah was to be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled, Matthew 1:23. The Messiah was to come of the seed of Abraham, Genesis 12:3, fulfilled, Galatians 3:8. The Messiah was to be born of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, fulfilled, Hebrews 7:14. The Messiah was to be a descendant of King David, Psalm 110:1, fulfilled, Romans 1:3. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, fulfilled, Matthew 2:6. The Messiah was to be called Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6, fulfilled, Matthew 1:23. The Messiah was to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 61:1, fulfilled, Luke 18:4, the Messiah was to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, Zechariah 9:9, fulfilled, Matthew 21:5. The Messiah will be betrayed by a friend, Judas, Psalm 41:9, fulfilled, John 13:18. The Messiah was to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Remember that? Zechariah 11:12, Matthew fulfilled Matthew 26:15 and chapter 27:9. The Messiah will be forsaken by his disciples. Remember Peter and all this? They fled. Zechariah 13:7 fulfilled Matthew 26:31 and 56. The Messiah will be pierced in his hands and feet without a bone broken. Psalm 22:16, fulfilled, John 19:36, chapter 20:20, and chapter 20:25. The Messiah was to be given gall and vinegar to drink. Psalm 69:21, fulfilled, Matthew 27:34. Men were to part his garments and cast lots for his vesture, his clothing. Psalm 22:18, fulfilled, Matthew 27:35. The Messiah was to be forsaken of God. Remember that on the cross? Psalm 22:1, fulfilled, Matthew 27:46. The Messiah was to be buried with the rich. Remember Joseph's tomb? Isaiah 53:9, fulfilled, Matthew 27:57-60. The Messiah was to rise from among the dead. Psalm 16:8-11, fulfilled, Matthew 28:1-7. The Messiah was to ascend on high. Psalm 68:18, fulfilled, Ephesians 4:8. And finally, the Messiah was to sit at the Father's right hand. Psalm 110:1, and fulfilled, Matthew 22:43-45. Praise God. Today we have talked about the authenticity and reliability of God's Word. 40 authors, 1600 years, 24,000 manuscripts, and prophecies fulfilled. Dear God, thank you for the word that you have given us, which is secure, which is sound, which is superintended by you, which is reliable, infallible, uncorruptible. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Until next time, this is Peter Zakharoff as Dr. Doctrine. Have a blessed week. God bless you. See you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie. I'm Dr. Doctrine's wife, Peter Zakharoff's wife. My name's Debbie Zakharoff, and I was raised in the church. I'm a teacher also. I hope you've enjoyed today's message on the infallibility of the Bible. I've always enjoyed learning about the Bible's inerrancy and how many men of old have come together to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I've also enjoyed learning about the Bible as being God's love letter to us, and it has every single emotion in the book of Psalms that we've ever felt in our lives, written by David. So I hope you have a wonderful time listening to Dr. Doctrine and asking questions that you might have. Please feel free to contact us at any time. And please listen every Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hope you have a wonderful New Year in Jesus Christ and enjoy His blessings this year in 2016. God bless you. Goodbye.